Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
John McClain is with us for the next few segments here. You can talk NFL headlines with John. And Chad, that means you can take it anywhere across the National Football League.
Phone lines are wide open right now. Let's change that. Let's talk some football with John McClain. Any headline across the league, keep it in the division with the AFC South if you want to. Whatever you want to discuss, you can do that right now with John McClain at 615-737-1045, 737-1045.
John McClain with us. John, how are you? How are you feeling?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Doing very well.
How's rehab? What's the latest progress? Are you typing with two fingers, or what's up?
No, I'm still typing with one finger, and I was told the doctor today I can't drive for another 4 weeks. That's going to be very inconvenient for my wife and friends who have been helping me, but nothing I can do about it, and I'll be glad when I can start using my left foot.
So you're Ms. Daisy, and Carol is Morgan Freeman?
Yes.
Which finger?
The one, excuse me, my right index finger is okay. My type.
Just making sure it wasn't the pinky. That would be even more
so
difficult.
The rest of the hand just isn't, is it in a cast or it's not?
No, my left hand's almost useless. My left arm. I had, besides the shoulder replacement, it went down to my elbow. So really, it's the shoulder down to the elbow because of the bone that goes from the shoulder to the elbow is called the humerus bone. That was broken, and then my entire shoulder was wiped out. So I've got little exercises I do 3 times a day at home that involve my elbow to my wrist, but not anything involving my shoulder. So they said I'm where I'm supposed to be, and as long as I keep doing what they tell me, and I said, yes, sir.
John, you know we're wishing you a speedy recovery, man. This sounds brutal.
Well, so. It's like I thought. I could have landed on my head. I could have, my foot, it's fractured. My big toe was fractured, gone down to my foot, but I can wear a boot, so I can still walk. I walk kind of sideways, but I can still walk. So I go in and do all my talk shows here. I'm going to go to Chronicle and do a Facebook Live tomorrow, and I've got to do a Robert Brazil story that I'm doing to have in tomorrow that I'm going to be writing out longhand and then dictating into this new dictation app, then transferring that to email into a Word so I can edit it and then send it. It's a pain, but it can be done. And then when the team comes back after the first preseason game, I'll go over there and get something to do every day. It'll just be one thing instead of multiple things, something that I can do fairly easily.
True or false, the boot injuring the helping the injured toe recover is a specially designed Uggs boot.
Yeah, I wish it was a specially designed Uggs boot. It'd be a whole lot more comfortable.
John's all about the comfort. It sounds very uncomfortable right now.
Do you have to stay in the boot, or can you get into your house shoes that you wore at the Super Bowl?
My foot is all bandaged up, so the boot comes off when I'm not going somewhere, and I can't get it in any kind of shoe, including not only do I have those Uggs house shoes, I have Uggs regular shoes.
John McClain is with us. You can join him at 615-737-1045. John, but before we get to some individual headlines, I want to get your headlines from the first week from training camps across the NFL. What are 5 storylines from the first week that stand out to you specifically?
These are things that everybody's talking about, but also there's a couple that are not getting as much attention as others, but every time I do talk shows, and I've been doing about 5 a day, and there are things that people ask me about. Number one, I think a powder keg is the NFL instructed the owners to keep quiet about the anthem rule. And then Jerry Jones and his son, Steven, both spoke out and said their players would stand. And a couple of their leaders said, yes, they would stand, but you know that's got to be an issue behind the scenes. I'll guarantee you it's an issue behind the scenes. Now you see players like Richard Sherman blasting Jerry Jones for the plantation mentality. When the preseason and regular season begin, it's going to be a bigger controversy than it was last year. Trump will weigh in on it again. The NFL owners could not have made a bigger mess. The only way they're going to not have a mess is if the owners could get the Players Association to agree to a rule that the NBA has. Everybody stands. But to do that, no telling what they will have to give up. Something that the NFL owners won't like, and it'll have to do with money.
How do you imagine talks are actually going in trying to find a compromise here?
I don't know, because, you know, the union doesn't trust the owners. The owners don't like the union. They've supposedly been talking, but the NFL owners don't give up things that they can't do without. They'll give up amounts of money like a concussion settlement, but if you read it closer, it's not as much money per team as you would think. So they would have to have something that hurts them in the pocketbook, something they don't want to give up, but Roger Goodell and a group of owners who are influential would have to get them to do it. I don't know what it would be, how it would be distributed. There'd still be players that wouldn't like it, but if the union agreed to it and said there was, like the NBA, has received no criticism for this. If there was a policy, which should have been implemented years ago, but if there's a policy agreed on by both groups and a player still does it, then the league can say, hey, we got a policy, we negotiated with the union, he's suspended, he's fined, whatever they decide the penalty would be. Now, do I think they're going to do this? Absolutely not.
Has there been anything said about how the players are going to react to the anthem in the Hall of Fame game on Thursday night?
I haven't seen anything about it. I'm guessing there will not be an issue under those circumstances.
I just came up with this idea. What if you found, I'm asking all three of you, and I know this is a hard person to find. I don't know if he exists, but there's got to be one. A universally respected statesman, a non-political veteran, right? Give me a general or somebody who's not been involved in politics, is at or near retirement.
What about Obama?
Say, well, no, Obama is political, so automatically it can't be a Republican or a Democrat.
He will divide.
It's got to be somebody who's non-political. And you say, as players and coaches, we want your solution. And then if both sides see fit to it being measured, you accept it. And that's how you get a third party.
That's
like the kind of thing you used to
that's
would
your
take to the president.
Arbitration, you're saying.
Yeah.
If you got an African-American, he would be under tremendous pressure to side with the players. That's why I think they should take one of the independent arbitrators they've agreed on about other issues, just not this one, and let an independent arbitrator that the union and the owners have agreed on, let him decide.
Also possible.
John, what's another headline that caught your attention?
One that I get asked all about, and I know you guys talk about a lot, but it is getting national attention. So the Titans, with a first-year coach taking over for a coach who reached the second round of the playoffs. And I know y'all get asked about it all the time, but it's the balance of power in the AFC South. Can Mike Vrabel help the Titans take the next step? That would be a record better than 9-7, then go farther in the playoffs, which would have to be the AFC championship game. How will they be different on those sides of the ball? Could they be better, but the record be 8-8?
Yeah,
because the division's tougher. But I think that because no other coach was fired with a winning record or that got to the second round of the playoffs, I think we all know there's a bullseye on Mike Vrabel, and he knows it as well. But watching the season, how it unfolds, and how does it have to end to be determined as success for Vrabel as a rookie head coach?
Paul, that's an interesting thought, because I think – John's onto something when he says that the division is to the point now where the Titans could actually be improved, but not have the same record that they did last year. It may not actually be in the win column, but, and that's just strictly because of the strength of the AFC South.
Yeah, and you need to see it in other ways, in point differential and yes. things like that. Third down.
And Mariota. I mean, that, right?
And Marcus playing better. Yeah.
John, Paul won't say this because he's known for being so modest and sometimes shy, but this is the one-year anniversary of the launch of his website, paulkuharsky.com, and I'll personally thank you for contributing to that site and boosting all of the hits. He's bragging about these millions of hits.
You retweet me a lot.
That you really helped on.
I retweet everything I see that Paul does.
Much appreciate that.
Thanks. My pleasure.
615-737-1045. Our number. Let's go to the phones before getting some other headlines from John here. And we start with Bert, who has been waiting patiently. Bert, welcome in.
No problem. Hello, John.
What's up, Bert?
Oh, not too much. Enjoying my day off. But, John, just recently I was thinking about your great NFL nickname. And one of the best I ever heard of was Frank Winters from the Packers. They called him Bag of Donuts. Remember that?
I remember Bag.
Yeah. But I was just curious if you could think of any other great nicknames for players that won't get you in trouble with the FCC.
You know, if you're talking about NFL, it's amazing when you think about sports and nicknames. You could just say a name and people know what you're talking about instantly. Like I think in NBA Magic, Doc.
Yeah.
The Julius Erving, you say Doc now, you don't even need nicknames. LeBron. You know, I can't remember the last time I heard LeBron's last name. Now his son's Bronny. And NFL nicknames, oh gosh, there's a million of them. And I'd have to think about
it. How about Dr. Death? That's a pretty strong one.
How about Dr. Doom going into the Hall of Fame? Robert Brazil.
Sweetness.
That's a great nickname.
Yep.
Given that nickname at the 75 by USC linebacker Richard Woods, and used by Howard Cosell.
The assassin.
Did you ever give Jack a Tatum. Nickname that stuck?
No, I never have. The assassin, Jack Tatum, you know, I'm thinking they were more, we heard and saw, you know, Manster, half man, half monster, Randy White, there were too tall, you know, instead of Ed Jones. Too tall Jones. That was a good one.
John, you did name me Chadillac, so that's not true.
Cadillac, that one stuck. That was a good one. And I hope it stuck.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'll be thinking about this the rest of the day, and there'll be so many popping in my mind.
Let's go to Brad next up. Brad, thanks for waiting. Go right ahead with John McClain.
Hey, John. Thanks for taking my call. My question is about a New York Jet player, Jeremy Clark. Him and I went to the same school from the same small town. And I know when he was drafted, he was hurt. But I can't find anything about him being healthy or if he's on the PUP list or what. Do you know anything?
I don't. Did you Google him?
Sure.
If you go on NFL.com, put his name in there, go to Jets roster on .com. Everybody that's still there in one capacity or another would be listed.
What was his name again?
Jeremy Clark.
He's a corner, I believe, for the Jets.
I'll look it up right now.
My guess is he's in a position battle at defensive back for the New York Jets.
I have no clue.
Let's go next.
Yeah, he's on the Jets official team page right now with his stats for the 2017 season with nothing but zeros next to it.
So maybe he was on a practice squad as a rookie.
John, give us some other headlines that stood out to you.
One that I'm really curious about is because the Texans open in Foxborough is all the controversy of the offseason is Tom Brady missing the offseason program that was not mandatory or getting rid or losing so many players like Malcolm Butler, Brandon Cooks, Danny Amendola, the players who are going to replace them, and are they going to be as good to where they are a Super Bowl favorite again? Yes, they're a Super Bowl favorite. We'll all make them that, but are they really? You know, is any of this going to have an effect? If it doesn't, and they go back to the Super Bowl and win or lose, then they are immune to any kind of controversy because everything that happened to them in the offseason was negative.
How about James Harrison's comments where he said on FS1 a couple of weeks ago, I wish I could sit here and tell you something negative from my experience inside that Patriots locker room. And he couldn't name anything. He said, Brady's a great guy. I want to hate the guy, and he's a great guy.
That's why they're professionals. Anything that happens off the field, and a lot of it could be manufactured by the media and social media. You know, they don't come out and deny anything, but they know how to either let it go in one ear and out the other, or never let it go in an ear, period. They just totally don't pay any attention to any of that, which I think would be impossible if you are in New England and you're paying attention to anything in the off season. But I think because they are so good and because they have a system in place that they are immune to that. But on the other hand, when you lose players and other players got to come in and replace them, that's what I'm looking forward to seeing, who are going to replace the three guys in particular who I mentioned.
It all sounds well and good that there's nothing objectionable about the Patriots for somebody like that. Except that for the first time, there's really something on its face that is objectionable about the Patriots that I have trouble believing players don't have issue with. And that's that a coaching decision that went unexplained took the best defensive back off the field in a game where the Eagles found room to pass and thus won a Super Bowl. And to me, that's a line of demarcation, a line of delineation.
Great point.
That Belichick had not previously crossed, that he's crossed now.
Do you believe he will at some point try to sit down and explain why he did what he did?
I don't think he gives a damn what we all think, but I think his locker room, returning guys, I don't understand how you're not thinking. Maybe you're not thinking it now, but you had to be thinking it when you were flying home from
what we
where
know.
Were we? You had to be thinking, what could this guy possibly have done that was worth sacrificing our chance to win?
John, what we know about this is it was a discipline situation. It wasn't a game plan situation.
Well, it wasn't anything he did. They said he didn't practice well. He'd been ill or injured, and you got to practice well. It was the worst decision Bill Belichick has ever made.
The one part of it, though,
cost him a Super Bowl.
The one question I don't hear asked enough is if the game plan truly was that they were not going to use Butler because of whatever reason during the week. He just didn't feel like Butler should play. I don't know why they didn't make him inactive. That is a wasted roster spot.
That's a great point, unless he was worried.
He played one snap.
He played one snap on special teams.
Or he's worried that the game wasn't going to be close, so they'd give up. Rowe would give up two quick touchdown passes or get hurt.
But they actually played more.
So where's the adjustment?
He wasn't the third or fourth corner on the depth chart that day. He was
the
deep.
Depth chart.
Yeah, I mean, they played four corners and didn't even look his way for a snap. That's the one area as a coach I'd be asking about is, okay, why was this guy active if we're not going to play him at all?
Everybody was asking that question, I'll guarantee you, in the locker room, and maybe one day Malcolm Butler will go on 104.5 The Zone and open up and tell exactly what he thinks.
He joins us tomorrow, by the way, at 12
o'clock. Well, maybe he will.
Let's go to Mark next up. Hey, Mark, what's up?
Hey, guys. Real quick on the anthem issue, why don't they bring in somebody like Roger Staubach, who was a former member of the military and a former player, to help mediate this issue, and I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Well, that'd be a good point, but 99% of the players today don't have a clue who Roger Staubach was.
Yeah, also he's a Cowboy. And so automatically,
right.
If he comes out with something, then a Washington fan says, oh, my God, why are we letting a Cowboy decide?
Well, exactly. was it Villanueva, the Pittsburgh Steeler, right, who was the lone guy who came out to stand for the anthem?
Yep.
Last year? That certainly didn't help the players' causes when that happened, especially in Pittsburgh, the one guy who served.
Let's go next to Bill. Bill, thanks for waiting.
Hey, guys, my pleasure. Hey, John, speaking of the Steelers, I'm a big Steelers fan. Do you think there's a chance they get something long-term done with Le'Veon Bell, or do you see them kind of parting ways? And do you think he actually deserves a Todd Gurley-like deal, that long-term sort of thing? I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
I think they're not going to get a deal done with Le'Veon Bell. If they were, they would have done it. I think if you're in his position and you're running back and you know today in today's market, a lot of teams think they can get backs. So Bell was a second-round pick. I think that this will be his last year. He'll be 27 years old. He better stay healthy. He better not violate any more rules and get suspended. But I still don't believe, with the wear and tear he's got on his body, he's going to get a deal like Gurley, because Gurley was in his, what was Gurley? This was his fourth year. He had the real good year, then he had a down year, then he had a real good year. Yeah, this is his fourth year. So Gurley doesn't have near as much wear and tear on his body as Bell does. So I'm going to say Bell being an unrestricted free agent next year. At some point, you know, if you, instead of trying to be the highest or having all these ego things, you think, what is enough for me and my family to be taken care of? Okay, I'll do a four-year deal for whatever with X amount guaranteed. But so far, often ego and the agent gets involved, and maybe he'll turn out and sign some monster deal with a team at his age, but I'll be surprised.
And I was thinking about this the other day. Normally the team ends up making the correct decision on the player. If they let the player walk, that player may have another good year, but I think most of the time teams sign up for that a year too early than a year too late scenario.
That's a good point, Jonathan.
It seems, I don't think there's any chance of anything happening. It seems like the decision's been made. They got one more year out of them, then they're going to go an alternate direction.
John, Sam Darnold's holdout finally ends. I say finally, it lasted less than a week, technically. But what do you think it actually cost him in the grand scheme of things when it comes to that quarterback battle in New York?
I don't think it cost him anything.
Yeah.
You know, he was there for the off-season program. He's a really smart guy. He tested out high when they were doing those tests. And they quickly announced he's third team behind Josh McCown and Teddy Bridgewater. It's amazing to me how the coaches quickly point out, you know, Tyrod Taylor's the starter, not Baker Mayfield. And nobody believes it. Everybody knows those guys are going to be playing sooner rather than later. But I guess they have to do that just for the public's sake, or the media's sake. You think Josh McCown thinks he's going to be starting the season? You think Tyrod Taylor may think it, but I don't. In Cleveland, I think the only one who might be on the bench is Josh Rosen, because Sam Bradford has played well when he's been healthy. Problem is, he's not healthy.
What if all three of those Jets quarterbacks are healthy when the time comes? You think they trade Bridgewater?
Well, you don't keep a third quarterback like that, but I would. If I had to keep three to maximize trade value, say wait until the trading deadline first week of November and find a quarterback who went down and we know there's going to be many, then make that deal.
How much pressure does Joe Flacco feel in Baltimore?
It's so funny because Lamar Jackson was picked at the bottom of the first round. And if they had thought he was the be-all, end-all, they could have taken him with – who'd they take in the first round? I can't remember. Was it tight end? No. I can't remember who they drafted in the first round. But the media's made such a big deal out of Lamar Jackson. And he wasn't – he was what, number five of that group?
Yep.
And he may turn out to be the greatest quarterback in history. But it's more about, I think, trying to put some pressure on Flacco, who has not played well.
They did take the tight end. They took Hayden Hurst.
Okay, they took Hayden Hurst. Well, if they thought he was the be-all, end-all, why didn't they take Lamar Jackson with that pick and take a tight end at the bottom of the first round? But I think that Flacco, everybody says this is his last season there because of his cap number. Well, if he were to play really well, then that causes them a big problem. But he has not played really well consistently since they won the Super Bowl and he got the big contract. Texans almost won in Baltimore as bad as they were last year, and Flacco beat them with his legs. I never knew Joe Flacco could run like he did in that game. But it's going to be fun to watch Jackson play, not because of the way he passes, but because of the way he runs. I'm guessing that when I see Lamar Jackson, I'm going to feel the way I did with Michael Vick. When he threw the ball, I was disappointed. I wanted to watch the guys run because they were so incredible.
Peter King had a great note, which is not unordinary. He writes that Sean Payton and Doug Peterson played golf in the offseason and were looking to make a wager. So Peyton suggested that the first winner of a hole would get to pick the jersey color for the Eagles-Saints game in New Orleans on November 18th. They tied on the first hole, tied on the second hole, and then Peyton put his ball in the water on three. Peterson won the bet. And Peterson chose green for the game in the Superdome. So the Saints, who wear black for the majority of home games, will wear white shirts on that day. That's just a great off-season nugget that I think we don't see enough of. With the friendly rivalry between coaches and situations like that.
Or it could be. We just don't know about it.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Peter King gets a lot of access that beat writers don't get.
That one's been out there for a while.
And so he spends time with them. He hangs out with them. He gets to eat with them, travel with them. So things like that would pop up. I'm pretty sure if you guys were spending as much time with John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, you'd be coming up with all kind of nuggets if you got the access Peter King does.
Any great coaching bets like that in the past that come to mind?
Well, I can't remember that. All the bets I know about coaches that do with beer and meals, mainly over golf.
Yeah, never golf. Let's go to Josh next up. Hey, Josh.
Hey, fellas, thanks for having me. I had a couple things. If I could get a Deshaun Watson update at the end, I'd appreciate it. I hadn't heard much on his comeback since the injury. But on the anthem thing, I have a tough time understanding, obviously, with it being as polarizing as it is and both sides having arguments that you can get behind. And you can get behind patriotism and you can get behind social injustices. So I don't understand at what point the smart people of the NFL and the Players Association and the owners can't get together and say, "Hey, we're gonna do both things. We're gonna stand for the anthem because we support the country and the troops and the first responders and those things. So we're gonna get together on that. We're also gonna get together on another organization that's backed by the NFL to keep the emphasis on the social rights and the injustices that was the focus from the beginning. And it just seems like, and maybe I just hadn't heard about it, but it seems like it's an easy way to separate and try to make both things positive, and I hadn't heard it, and it's confusing to me.
Well, the bottom line is, well, there's freedom of speech in America. People, and that means you have the right to protest. The reason players protested in the first place, kneeling in the national anthem beginning with Colin Kaepernick, was to protest racial injustice in America, of which we see it every single day. And now, if they had protested at home in their house, in their yard, it wouldn't have gotten any attention. If they don't, the players spend a lot of money on charities, on social injustice. They do so much good in America with their money, but because of people like Trump, everybody decided if they did that, it was an affront to the flag and the soldiers and the first responders, and that is not what the players meant it to be. And they've explained it till they can't explain it anymore, but people either don't want to know what they're doing or they just have put up a wall and don't want to try to accept what they're doing. And is it divisive? Yes. Does it hurt the NFL? Yes, it does. And it's not going away. As far as Deshaun Watson, he's doing great. If the season started Sunday, he could do everything you want a starting quarterback to do.
Same for J.J. Watt?
I'm not Watt's 100%, but because it's been so long since he's played, I think if the season started Sunday, he would start. But instead of playing 99% of the plays as he did from 2011 through 2015, he would be probably play 70 and then work his way up.
And Andrew Luck getting good reviews for his early
play. That was the other thing I was going to say about the five things that Jonathan asked me, storylines. You know, Andrew got a lot of attention before he started throwing. Now that he's throwing, he's not getting as much. But if he is to stay healthy, I believe the Colts could not win the division. I'm not going to say. He's never had a losing record. And so I'm going to say the Colts will be play a major role in who wins the division, who goes to the wild card, because they're capable with Luck of beating any team in the AFC South.
John McClain, follow him on Twitter at McClain_on_NFL. John, you're always great, man. Thank you. Feel
Thank
better.
Thank you guys very much. I appreciate it. Paul, congratulations on your one-year anniversary. And if anybody hasn't signed up for PaulKarski.com, you should, because it's great information. Thanks
a lot, John. Appreciate it.
We all agree. Thank you, John. John McClain with us twice a week on Tuesdays and then again on Friday.